This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
Lord, we thank you that you go at the head of an army that you've redeemed, that you have blood washed, Lord, that you have saved. And now, Lord, in this sign we conquer, in the sign of the cross, in the sign of the Holy Spirit, in the love of the Father. I thank you, Lord, that you would cause us to cross over Jordan today, a mighty great army. Lead on, O God. The land is before us, and Jesus, you are the land. Let us possess you, Jesus, your heart, your soul, your mind, everything, Lord. There is a richness in you. We will never be alone again, O God. Move us into you, Jesus. And Lord, we'll sing your praises. Lord, I thank you it's begun in this service. Receive your glory. And we thank you, thank you, thank you for it all. In Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Message today is never drawing back. Never drawing back. How many were in the service, if I may ask this morning? How many heard the message this morning were here? Oh, praise God. Many, many. If you were not here, I so strongly urge you to get that tape from this morning. I really feel if there were just 10 messages you could hear in your entire life, this would be one of them. This would be one that is so clear and so easy to understand, but how a Christian walks with Jesus Christ. And it was so awesome. We've just completed a 3-day fast, and many of you have participated with us in that. And I'm just going to ask you if you'll turn in your Bibles before I say something more about that. If you would turn to 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 18. And then, if you would put a marker in your Bible, it's 2 Chronicles 32. 2 Chronicles 32. But we'll start in 2 Kings 18 and then go to 2 Chronicles 32. Never drawing back. During the fast on the Wednesday, Pastor Carter just got up and said, you know, I really feel that as a church, we're not to draw back. We're to keep moving forward. And that so resonated in my spirit. It was like a hook in my spirit. And I know for many, too, it seemed to hit them with a force. It was God saying, don't draw back. I'm leading you, and you are moving forward. You are an army, and you are moving forward in the power of the Spirit. And those that have a heart for me and want me, you are moving in that direction. And, of course, the enemy wants to say otherwise, but that doesn't change the truth of it. And it was such an alive day that when I went back and I thought about this word and was praying about it, I felt like the Lord gave me something out of the life of King Hezekiah that illustrates and shows us what it means never to draw back. And in 2 Kings 18, it tells us that this young king comes to the throne, and the Bible says that he's the son of Ahaz. And his father, Ahaz, was a king of Judah, and he was extremely wicked. His father forsake everything he knew that a king was supposed to do if a king was to lead godly. And he forsook the commandments of Moses. And the Bible says that his father took on the idols of the land and then did them all one farther, is that he embraced idol worship. He caused high places to be placed throughout all the land, just like Samaria. And that he even caused his son to pass through the fire. And I'm not sure I understand all what that means, but except to say that I believe that this family felt the full weight of the darkness that comes into a family that is supposedly supposed to know the truth and lives very far from the truth. And a family ends up being greatly affected, and it I don't know if this was his firstborn son. If he caused a son to pass through the fire, I don't know if that meant death or what. But there was a king, the Bible says. Ahaz's son, Hezekiah, came to the throne. And it was like when he came to the throne, there was such a determination in his heart that he wanted something different. He wanted the living God. He saw what the abominations and the darkness and the bondage and what it brought into his family. And there was such a determination and a longing for him to walk in the light. And the Bible says that, verse 3, that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places, and he broke the images, and cut down the groves, and broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Neshutim. And that word means a piece of brass. And this man, in turning to God with all his heart, God brought him such clear thinking and a right mind, and he was able to discern spirits. And he saw that his people, where Moses, the scripture tells us, lifted up this brass serpent in the wilderness, and all who looked at this brass serpent were healed. Moses saw that the children of Israel transferred their trust into something brass, that they weren't trusting God. And I see that so clearly sometimes, that when many of us come from different traditions to Christ, there are still the beads, there's still these things that hang around their neck, there's still these things in the house. And beloved, we need to get rid of that. That has no part in the Christian life. For many times we say that's just a symbol, but they are representing something that is not of God. God says you walk by faith, not by sight. We worship a God we cannot see, but he proves himself that he is real, and he rewards our faith when we walk according to his word and believe his word and exalt it above what we see. And so we get rid of these things like Hezekiah, that piece of brass, and we reject all cultish things. But I like what verse 5 and 6 says. He, Hezekiah, trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. And this, the Bible tells us now, is a king that represents a man of trust and faith. And he was an exemplary king. In the New Testament, he would be like a believer that says, Lord, I want to trust you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want to live for you. I want to know what it is to become a man of faith or a believer of faith. Lord, I want you to be so real to me, and that if you become somebody that people look at you and say, they have faith. They believe this. And this king was like that. He becomes an example of the king that trusted, so that none before him, none after him were like him. He so stood out among his peers. The Bible, describing different kings, it says of Josiah, a king that came after him, one of his descendants, his great-grandson, it says no one was like him when it comes to turning of his heart towards God. In other words, a king that was going one way and all of a sudden got God-gripped, saw what he was doing and turned his heart and moved in another direction. But it was like this king, from the moment he got on the throne, he was determined to trust God. And it says in verse 6, he cleaved to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And so here is a picture of a king and a New Testament type believer that says, Jesus, I want to trust you with everything I have, and I want that to be the mark of my life. And the Bible says that in cleaving to the Lord, just as we do to Jesus Christ, where we say, Lord, I want to be found where you are. I want us to become one. I want my life intertwined with yours. And that, Lord, wherever you go, there I am. Bind me to you. So many times it's like, Lord, unless you bind me to it, my heart seems to go its own wandering way. But this man's heart is like, bind me to you, Jesus. And help my wandering heart from going another direction. Because underneath that, I want you. And I want to be able to trust you through all things. So the Bible says in verse 7, at the end, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. And the king of Assyria is a very significant picture for us as New Testament believers. Because when we read this chapter, we see that the Assyrian army, the foreign army, was the type of an ungodly army that was chosen by God to bring down the northern apostate Israel. You see, in King Hezekiah's day, who ruled the southern kingdom, the northern kingdom, Samaria, fell. The northern kingdom that had been given to idol worship, the northern kingdom that embraced everything his father had done, he saw Hezekiah in his day, God judge it. It had gone on for king after king, but in his day, God chose the Assyrians and the Assyrian army to bring down a apostate Israel. And so Assyria was a world force, and Assyria can represent to a believer, you and I. If the enemy wants to put his spin on it, it's the kind of army that comes against those that if we falter or fail in any measure, the Assyrian army will get us. The Assyrian army represents the world power of the day and the world thinking of the day. And the Bible tells us that Hezekiah rebelled against this king of Assyria and served him not. And so this man's faith and trust gave him great boldness, because the kingdom to the north and the kingdoms all around fell to this world power. It fell to the Christian killer. Fell to the army that God chose would bring down those that did not trust him. And it would be a formidable army, not only physically, but psychologically. Mentally, in your head and in your spirit, what does this army mean that lives on my northern border? And if you will turn with me quickly to 2 Chronicles, I want us to hear what the Assyrian army does and speaks. Because the Bible tells us that this Assyrian army had, after it conquered Samaria in the sixth reign of Hezekiah, in the 14th reign of Hezekiah, 8 years later, the Assyrian army turns its eyes towards the kingdom of Judah. Because Hezekiah rebelled against it. This little nation, this people of God, stood up to this nation, and Hezekiah rebelled against it. And the Bible tells us that the king of Assyria would be so enraged, so affronted on one hand, and maybe laughed to himself, who is this little group that would dare oppose me? And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 32 that the kings begin to boast. And verse 13, it says, know ye not what I and my fathers have done unto all the people of other lands, where the gods of the nations of those lands anyways able to deliver their lands out of my hand? Verse 14 says, we utterly destroyed them. There was no God that could deliver the people out of my hand. There has never been a nation that their God was able to deliver you out of my hand. And the people of Judah would look north and say that in our generation, that's absolutely true. And there's these great swelling words, and they're saying, no one withstands us. And then they began to say, do not be persuaded by Hezekiah, verse 15, don't let this man deceive you nor persuade you, and neither believe him. No God or any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people out of my hand. Now, of course, this nation is boasting, probably completely unaware it was God Almighty himself that lifted up the hedge of protection that they could come in and overrun his chosen people to the north. And so they're emboldened. They are now able to be victorious against a certain group of people they'd never been able to be victorious against. And I can see the enemy gloating and so can't believe his good fortune that he was able to overcome the people of God. But the Bible tells us that Hezekiah's response was this in verse 2. It says, when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, that's the king of Assyria, he purposed to fight against Jerusalem. He purposed to fight. And the Bible says that he took counsel, and from this counsel they were able to stop the waters, that they decided that they would dry up all the surrounding land so that the enemy coming against them would be extremely thirsty. They built walls and towers. They made darts, which means swords, and shields in abundance. They set captains of war over the people. And that speaks to me, there is now people in their midst that have this kind of fighting faith here, that this king is able to inspire them. There's a leadership that's speaking faith to them. And even though the odds are against them, there's something rising up in their spirit. And they're saying, God is with us. We can do this. We can look an enemy in the eye that seems impossible. But we can do something. And the Bible says in verse 6, I believe they said that, because the Bible says that Hezekiah spake at the end of verse 6, he spake comfortably to them. And that word comfortably means he spake to their hearts. He was able to speak to the people following him, and he spoke right to their heart. That's because he was speaking the word of God to them. And when the people of God heard the word of God, they understood the truth of it. And that truth brought a power and a comfort to it. It went right to their heart, right to the fear zone, right to the unbelief zone. And they were able to hear these words and gather them up in their heart and say, yeah, there is something different here. God is stirring us to stand up against an army that, yes, have defeated our brothers to the north, but we understand why. But God, we want to cleave to you just like we're seeing a life live before us. We want to do that. And his words are able to pierce to our hearts and put something there that is not there. And the Bible says that he spake comfortably to their hearts, and he said, be strong and courageous, and be not afraid nor dismayed. Do not be confused and terrified. And this king is now speaking Joshua words, the words that the Lord gave Joshua when he was leading a great army to come against Jericho. Because when that city of unbelief fell, the promised land lay open before them. And now it's like God is saying, I'm here to preserve the ground I've given you. I'm here to win an incredible victory for you. Now be strong and very courageous. And the Bible says that when he preached to them, Hezekiah, he says, verse 8, for with him, the king of Assyria, is an arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. The Bible said that rested means they leaned. And the people heard these words of faith from this man. And these words not just brought comfort and spoke something into their heart and created something that wasn't there before. But finally, when their own faith began to rise up, they were be able to lean upon it. And they were able to lean upon this kind of trusting, this faith-filled leadership, and they leaned upon these words themselves, and it was like a support to them and their words. And he was able to do and create something in his people and under this leadership that was not there, had not been seen in a long time. And beloved, you and I are called to have this kind of Hezekiah faith. You and I are called in the New Testament kings and priests unto God. And that means that you and I have available to us this kind of faith, this kind of belief, and this kind of trust. It begins by saying, God, I thank you that I want to live this kind of life. And I thank you, God, you're creating something in me. And your word creates the kind of response in my heart that Hezekiah's words created in those that could listen to him. And I would say that there was something in me when I was reading this man's life that he is a picture of a New Testament believer that steps out, speaks the word of God, and those around take such comfort and take such power from their words and their life that the fainting hearts around them are like given a strong drink when this man moves among them and when this man speaks words of faith. When this man is able to say to them, don't draw back. It doesn't matter what's coming against us. For I have seen in the spirit that they only have an arm of flesh. But I see that God is with us, and it is the Lord that will fight our battles. And I would say that every man in Christ, every woman in Christ we've heard today has to go alone, has to come to that point of being alone with Christ and saying, Lord, I'm yours. Now I believe you or I don't when you say that it is your good pleasure to take me into the promised land, where that you are going to give me a heart of faith, where when I read your word, no matter what is coming against me, even my own Christian killer, you say that the battle is yours. That, Lord, you've appointed certain things in this society that take everyone else down, but it will not take those down that trust you. You say that the king of Assyria dominates the land and all around me and all my thinking on my east and the west and the north, that I can be surrounded by what seems to be an overpowering power. But praise God, the top is still open and I can still pray. That's not boxed in. And if I have a heart that wants to trust you and is determined to stand on your word, you say that you will come and you will be leader of the army. You will make a way for me not just to not cower in fear, but actually go on the assault. That I will see that this king is powerless before your power. And that what's coming against me, the power and the fear in my own heart, the Christian killer that stalks me, that God, you're saying to me that I'm not just to not cower in fear, but I'm to move out against him. That when he tries to move into my land, into my headspace, that you say, no, he's not going to occupy this land. I occupy this land. And I want you to follow me. I've given you this land. I am your land. You come to me. You give me your fear. You give me your doubt. But then you go into this word and I'll create something in you. Just like Hezekiah's words created something in the people that heard his words. And God's saying, I will be that to you. I want you to move out. Don't draw back. I will, those that will come to me and say, Christ, I believe you. Take me into your heart. Let me see as you see. God, when I'm fearful, you're going to give me your courage. And God, I'm going to go with you. And that Jesus, you are my portion. You are the army. You're going to give me courage where my fear dominates me. And I'm going to believe you for this. And this change happens. And all of a sudden, people that have determined when they have that one-on-one encounter with Christ, when alone they are brought into the promised land, they are able to encourage and strengthen so many around them. And this person is a person of influence and power and weight because they've had that one-on-one with Christ and he's brought them into the land of promise. He's brought them into the land of trusting him no matter what kind of enemies encircle our mind or our lives. And I was saying to Hezekiah, don't draw back. You don't go alone. God's saying that to us, those that have committed their lives to Christ and want to follow him, whatever that means. There's going to come a point that the enemy wants to take those Hezekiahs, those that have saying, God, I want to trust you. God's saying, don't draw back because you don't realize the influence and the weight your words have on those that are listening to you. But why would Hezekiah want to go back? Why would this mighty man of faith, do you think he would ever face that temptation to draw back? Do you think he would ever, at the most important battle of his whole life, at the most crisis point of his leadership, do you think that he would be tempted to draw back? When he stood before his people and he said, be strong and courageous. He only has an arm of flesh, but we have the living God with us. And it's going to be God's battle. It's going to be God's fight here. Because we are powerless against the king of Assyria. Well, it's a Christian killer here. It is the dominating world power, everybody under his sway except us. It has to be the Lord's battle, this one. But do you think he was tempted to draw back? Do you think that there was a battle in him? Well, I know it because the Bible tells us his whole story. You see, I fast-forwarded in his life. But if we go, will you flip back with me to 2 Kings? 18 again. You see, when he stood before this threatening army, here's his history. It says, in the sixth year of his reign of 18, 2 Kings 18:10, in the sixth year of his reign, Samaria fell. Verse 13, in the 14th year, 8 years later, Hezekiah faced the king of Assyria, Sennacherib. And verse 14 says, and Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria, to Lachish, that's where that king was warring, saying, I have offended. Return from me. That what thou puttest on me will I bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. At that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid and gave it to the king of Assyria. See, this is this man. This is the real, this is his life. And this man has known what it is to bow before the king of Assyria, just like us. This man, whose words could inspire a nation, this man whose words, when he spoke, the full strength of God would come in it and cause people to be comforted by them and to rest upon his words. Such were the power of his words in a time of crisis. But the Bible says that he knows what it is to bow to that enemy. It says he at one point says, I have wronged you. I rebelled against you, king of Assyria. I tried to go another way, but I know who you are, and I know what you do to Christians. I know what you do to believers. And he bowed before him. And he says, leave me. That means leave us. That what you demand of me, I will do. What do you want? What's it going to take that you won't harass me? What's it going to take that you'll take this little kingdom that I have and that you'll leave us alone? What will it take that you can terrorize the whole world, but just me and this little group of believers here? I'll pay you off. I'll even take you, give you the gold and silver from the temple. It's consecrated, you know. The holy stuff. I'll give it to you. You just leave us alone. And the Bible tells us that he went and he gave all the silver from the house of God. And beloved, he gave the gold. What he oversaw, what the joy was in his heart the day that he had a vision in his mind, what the temple of the Lord would look like. He wanted the entrance to be spectacular. He wanted the doors to be gold. And he wanted the pillars, the entranceway, when people just were filled with awe at the beauty and splendor of this place. He oversaw that because he trusted God and he loved God. And he wanted so much for the people to trust and be inspired too. But 14 years into his leadership, he was ripping the gold off what he had put there. And beloved, that's a picture of you and I. When we fall before the enemy in fear, he wipes the glory from our face. He wipes the glory from our face. Every hope and every vision we have of how we want to serve him. And this man, we say, this is the man that his words could inspire. But beloved, he had a desire for peace. He wanted security. He wanted comfort. We so identify with him. Beloved, you know, you and I, if we give our lives to Christ, one thing we know, that this life is dotted with times of rest, times of security, times of joy. But most of the time, it's a battlefield. And you and I have to learn to rest on the battlefield. Hezekiah, for a season in his life, desired peace in his house. He wanted peace in his house. No more war. So that meant bowing before the enemy. I know that when he bowed and he emptied the treasury of its silver and he ripped the gold off the doors, I know what he would be saying. This is wise. He would say this is common sense. His counselors would be telling him, this is smart move, Hezekiah. What are we against them? This is Christian killers. We can't fool with this. And when they gave it all, I know what all they would call it, saying, we need security, we need comfort, we need peace, we don't need war. But God, standing down from heaven, said, no, it's drawing back. It's capitulation. You don't want war, but you're going to pay way too much to have peace. And there will be no peace. And the removal of the gold is like, beloved, that shining radiance and trust that you and I have. And the glory is wiped off our face when we go out in this world and We want to trust him with all our might. And we've just hit the king of Assyria. We've just hit our Christian killer. We've just hit what dominates the world. And we want to trust him with all our heart. But somehow we just keep trying to pay a cost for peace and security and our comfort. And we're getting poorer by the minute. And the radiance in our testimony is taken from us to, like Hezekiah, we gave it all to the king of this world. But then the truth dawns, beloved. The truth dawns. And I want us to pick up the story. You see, the story goes on in verse 17 that after they pay, after Hezekiah pays, guess what? Warlords of the king of Assyria show up. And these warlords, even though tribute was paid to them to stay away, Assyria still comes after him in his kingdom. That's the enemy. That's him. That will always be him. There's never enough we can pay him. Never enough he gives. He goes after our testimony. Then he'll go after our life in Christ. Then he'll go after our life. That's the way it is. And it won't stop and it won't alter. And Hezekiah, all of a sudden, when they come and they're demanding more, you know where the story picks up? It says, then Hezekiah is determined to fight. That's where we pick up the story. That's where we started. It's like, you know what? I've just been duped. That's when he gets determined to fight. I thank God. That's when you and I get determined to fight a lot of times too. Let's face it. When we hit rock bottom and we've compromised way too much. And the Spirit of God is still gracious. And he still comes upon us. He says, lift up your heads. I'm still with you. What do you say? And we say, Lord, he's still at the gates. But I want to do it your way. I want to be a person of faith. I want to be a person of trust. But I'm me. God says, get to your feet. That determination to fight, I brought you to this place. I brought you to this place. And when Hezekiah goes out and he says to them, listen, our God is able. Let's be strong. Let's be very courageous. And he began to speak words that right to their heart and that they could lean on. I'll tell you something. Every word he spoke, there's a battle going on in his mind where the king of Assyria is coming. Who are you to talk? Where every time we're determined not to draw back, where we know we've failed, but somehow the Spirit of God, one more time, it says, you are mine, and I've called you to something different. Now up on your feet and you trust me. And he puts that determination to fight. And all of a sudden, you and I find this, we're beginning to speak God's word again. We're beginning to say, let us be strong and very courageous, for he only has an arm of flesh, but our God will fight our battle. I'll tell you something, did he not fight a battle every word that came out of his mouth? Yes, he did. What did it cost him not to draw back? It caused him to have to renounce every voice of condemnation, every feeling of failure, every time he sold out to the devil. He was reminded every time he paid tribute and ripped off the gold, he had to fight. Yeah, you can speak great swelling words to those around you, but who are you? And he had to make a choice. He had to say, I am determined. I'm going to speak this truth. And I'm going to speak words, the Lord's word to those around me. And he must have been amazed at the effect his words had on them. He knew who he was and he had a reputation before them. He sold them out. He tried to buy this king off. But because all of a sudden his heart was, oh God, I want to be the king of faith. I want this trust. It's you and I saying, God, I'm determined not to draw back. Lord, I can't stand. I'm not the one who's going to boldly confront this king. But God, if you will come upon me and stir me up, I'm going to begin to speak your word no matter what the enemy says I am or condemns me. And so when all of a sudden everybody started to have comfort, everybody started to lean on his words, he must have went at night and the enemy would come against him and say, you're going down. You're going down. I know who you are and you know who you are. But he would have to keep saying, the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. And there would be times he didn't feel it, but he still spoke it. There would be times where his heart would tremble because he knew who he was. And he knew how easy it would be for him in his flesh to want to withdraw from this fight because he had done it before. He knew what it was to want to seek his own comfort and his own peace and shut out what was at the gates of his heart and the gates of the kingdom. He knew what it was, but beloved, you know something? There was when he was compromised, his eyes were open. And for that mercy, and that God would love him and say, I see you as the king that would trust me. Where God would speak something that he didn't even know was there. God says, if you will open your heart to me, I call you what you are, a king that trusts me. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but God loved us. It's easy, think about it. It's easy for us to love God. He is perfect. He's full of glory. He's full of power. He's the one who redeems us. He saves us. He died for us. He gives his life to us continually. It's easy for us to love him, but oh, no, here in his love, he loves us. He loves you. He loves me. Love says, I see you as a king that when I have brought you through this time, I see you as a king that will trust me. Because I'm going to speak my word and you're going to repeat my word. And you're going to see the power of my word in those around you. And ultimately, it's going to fortify your heart. And you're not going to draw back. You are not going to draw back. And he began, his life begins to inspire others. I love that. Why didn't they say, oh my gosh, here's Hezekiah spouting off. Who's he to speak to us? No, but there's something real this time. First of all, they needed to hear these words. And second of all, he was speaking the truth. He was speaking what God says is the truth. And it began to create something in those that heard him and something that was in him. And you know, beloved, there is a time for war and a time for peace. But trust and faith says it's God decides the times. You see, when you and I want to withdraw from the battlefield for our own comfort and security, we will never find it. When God says it's a time for war and we hear that sound of battle, God will put a stirring in our spirit. It'll be God himself that will rouse us up and give us a longing. God, I want to do it your way. I know who I am apart from you. I know I withdraw from this battlefield. But I'm going to trust you because you're stirring something in me. You love me and you're calling me to battle. You say that I'm a king because the king lives in me. And you're an ever victorious king. And you want to lead me out into a victory, even against my Christian killer, especially against the fear and the doubt. Beloved, let's not draw back now in this time of when we want to pray specifically for our sons and daughters. Let's not draw back from the field. Let us, when we begin to specifically pray for spouses, let us not draw back and give ground on that field. Let's not be reminded of who we are. Let's remind the enemy of who it is that's leading us into battle, who says the battle is his. And so Hezekiah, he says to the people, the Assyrian king shows up and he shows up with all his might. And it was a very formidable army. And I'll tell you a very interesting thing about this story is that the king's warlords stand at the pool they're going to dry up. And they stand at the pool and they began to speak in the Jews' language who they are and what they've come to do. And the leaders around Hezekiah, they called him and they said, we speak your tongue, Syrian. You don't have to talk to us in the Jews' language. But that's the enemy, you see. He will speak the language we understand. He speaks fear. And every nation understands fear. Everyone understands the language of fear. And that's what the enemy will do in these days, that you're going to stand up against me. You're going to believe, you're going to pray those kind of prayers. Well, I'll tell you something, if you get very specific in your prayers, it's not going to happen and your faith's going to fail. If you get up and you start speaking very specific people and very specific things, it's not going to happen. And where will you be trying to explain me to other people? You'll lose your faith. No, No, that's the enemy speaking the language of fear. But Hezekiah said to them, don't listen to them. We heard it so powerfully today. Don't listen to them. Don't answer them a word. Beloved, we do not engage when fear begins to speak to our heart and unbelief. We don't have a dialogue with fear and unbelief. We save our words for prayer. And the Bible says that Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, when they're surrounded by this Christian killing army, this army that God himself used to judge Samaria, when it surrounds them, that they go to prayer. And this is what God says back to them when they begin to pray. I love their prayer because it's basically, God, save us, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God and only you. A prayer like, God, for your glory. Not, God, forgive me, you know who I am and we know what we've done like this. It's like all of a sudden, no, it boils down to this. You are God. Save us and rub the enemy's nose in them. Save us that every kingdom, seen and unseen, will be forced to bow their knee to you, the way you save us, the way you deliver us, the way you answer. That kind of prayer is simple but awesome. And here, I love the way that God answered Hezekiah. This man that refused to be draw back, this man who knew who he was apart from the Spirit of God, and yet hearing that God says, I've called you to a battle. I'm going to lead you into the battle. It's going to be an impossible battle. But you keep telling those around you, be strong and very courageous. For they just have flesh. You have me. And this battle is mine. And Hezekiah refused to move off that ground and then began to say, God, I believe you and I trust you in this. And the Bible says that the prayer that the prophet Isaiah in 2 Kings 19, in verses 21, start at verse 20. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard, and this is God's word. This is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, has despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. And the daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head at thee. Oh, I tell you, I felt the rebuke reading that. I felt like here's the king of Assyria, the Christian killer, coming against Hezekiah, the man who failed, but the man who decided to say, no, God, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you what you're doing and creating in me. I thank you that you're going to lead me forward and that through my words, people are going to be strengthened. They're going to come to know you. And even though in my own heart, it may be hand-to-hand battle for days to believe the words I speak, I'm going to stand on this word. I'm not going to be moved off it. I'm not going to turn back. This is true. And this is the God you are. And all of a sudden, God is saying, this is my word. My people, my virgin daughter has despised you, king of Assyria. And she laughs at you and she shakes her head at thee. Now, this is not railing because this is not a presumptuous prayer. This is God saying, my bride, my people in me, when they look at the Christian killer, when they look at what's taken every other Christian down before them, when they see what's caused others to compromise through the ages, when my bride decides to stand and confront the power of the age, the thinking of the age, when she cries out to me and says, God, I will not turn back only by your strength. God says, this is how I see the situation. I am going that what confronts you, you can despise it, hate it with a perfect hatred. You can laugh at its impotence and you can shake your head at it because so complete is the victory you have in me over it. God says in verse 22, whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed talking to the king of Assyria? Who have you exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high? even against the Holy One of Israel. God is speaking to our enemy and saying, when you attack those that are determined to trust me, those that say, God, I will not draw back. I know who I am, but if you will visit me, I'll be able to speak your word and I'll be able to live your word. And God says that you can know such a complete victory in the worst moments of your life, because you're going to come back to this and say, there's victory is complete in me, because the enemy has challenged me when he comes against you. When he comes against you to cause you not to pray specific prayers and not to believe me for great and mighty things. If you'll cry out and you're saying, God, I want to trust you. He says, you're challenging. Then the enemy is challenging me. And I want you to believe that. I want you to believe that the battle is mine. I want you to know that when you and I come against up the strongholds, the unbelief, when we want to pray specific prayers, when we want to move out where we've never moved out before, where in our own flesh where there is fear and trembling, and it's like, God, are you sure you're sending me in this direction to speak to these people, to obey you in this, to follow you in this? God is saying, you know that is only I could speak this to you. Your flesh doesn't want to go there. But if you'll trust me in this, you will see that the enemies of fear and the enemies of unbelief and your unwilling flesh, I will do something very special. And what happened to the king of Assyria was, God says in verse 28, I will put my hook in thy nose, my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way which thou camest. Verse 32, concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city. He shall not come into this city. He is not going to be allowed to attack your mind, your heart, your belief. He is not going to be allowed to enter that city and wreak havoc. He's not going to be allowed to come in. If you are trusting me and I'm speaking a word to you, you do not have to draw back this coming year. You do not have to give way to fear. You can repeat this word. And even though there's a battle in your mind, you keep repeating my word because it is truth. It will create faith instead of fear. It will create your trust. And you and I are going to go out and do exploits, because God says he's not coming into this city. It's a bluff. He can't get in. He can't invade your mind and bring you down. He can't get into your heart to cause you to tremble and bow one more time before him. No, this time your trust is in me, and he's not entering the city, and you're going to stand. You pay him no more tribute. You don't ransack your faith system to pay him off to hope he'll never show up again. No, when he shows up, you meet him eye to eye, but this time you are hidden in me, and it's me fighting you for you. Because the battle is the Lord's. He's not coming into this city. He doesn't have anything in this city. God is speaking to the king of Assyria. Your and I biggest fears. You and I that were weak find it the hardest to believe for this prodigal, for this situation, for trusting him for our finances, to leave an ungodly job, to leave an ungodly relationship, to walk in a completely other direction. I'm not talking about two-bit fears. I'm talking about what is gripping our lives that causes us to bend, that causes us to compromise, that causes us to seek comfort in a time of war, of wanting to withdraw from the battlefield when God says, now is the time my army moves out. Whatever it is that comes against us then, God says, you're going to meet eye to eye, because he's not entering my city. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then God says, not only is he not entering the city. Listen, beloved, this is a type of what happens in the spirit. He's not just entering the city. The Bible says that God sent an angel, verse 35. It came to pass at night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. 185,000 warriors fell. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, there were all dead corpses. If you and I will declare the word of the Lord, even when the enemy comes against us and says, who are you to speak faith? Who are you to move out? Who are you? Remember when you bowed and we say, no, this time I turn to the word. God says, no, when we face our deepest fear and we say, God, Make me willing to be willing, but I'll bend now and I'm going to trust you. God says is not only does he not come in, the battle belongs to the Lord. You wait and see what I do. I will change the whole situation if you'll just give it to me. I'll move into the enemy camp. And there's going to be nothing but corpses of our enemies knee-deep everywhere. When my husband was a policeman and the Lord seemed to be saying, give everything up and go into the ministry. It was, oh, many voices all around him. Brother, I don't think that's wise. You have to provide for your family. When God asked us to do certain things and in the natural, it didn't seem to be wise. But I'll tell you, the mercy and grace came upon us and where the voice of the Lord said, this is me. Trust me. This is me. I'm going to come against the fear that I won't provide for you. I'm going to slay that fear and prove myself to more than provide for you. When God, what will people say? What will people think? How can I give up my livelihood? How can I go by faith another way? I've got to provide. I've got to do. And God says, this is of me. Obey me. And God changes the situation. He moves into the enemy camp. And we wake up in the morning not knowing that our enemies are the one who has fled in fear. Because the battle belongs to the Lord. He can turn a situation. And God gives us this story of Hezekiah because, beloved, that's how we're to live our lives. This is what happens in the spirit realm when we say, God, I'm going to trust you. That I will not draw back. That yes, I'll confront everything in my heart, but it's going to be a glorious victory because this word and Jesus, you're going to come and strengthen my heart and take me to a place I couldn't go except you come and get me and take me there. And beloved, he's come to get us to take us to the promised land. He's come to get us to move forward in him. He's come to give us his mind and his heart. He says, you're going to be like me and it starts now. You may have never looked like me in this area, but it starts now. I'm the promised land. Come with me. I'll move you into it and I'll silence your enemies. And you'll be astounded what I'll do in your life. I can remember how so clearly I would sit there in my seat wishing the ground would open up and I would never have to walk to this place. Where I would hear the enemy tell me, shut up. You don't belong there. You're not to speak. Who are you to speak? You're not called. You're just wife of. You don't belong there. And I would have to, every fear in my heart, believe me, I'm more than battling. It wasn't a one-day battle. But I thank God. He says, no, you're going to face this battle. You're going to face this fear. Hallelujah. And then you're going to find out it is me calling you and it is me leading you forward and it is me. You don't have to give up ground if I've called you. I'm bringing you into the promised land. Beloved, this year we're not drawing back. We're letting hell be on notice. There's an army. Hallelujah. There's an army moving into this city. We're going to face our fears. We're going to quote this word. We're going to see people around us come to life. They're going to be lean on our words and our comfort. We're going to lead them to Christ. They're going to get the same backbone and guts. We're going to tell them if you fall, that's okay. Get up. Get up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we've gotten up and we're still usable. We're stronger. We're more dependent. We're craftier, and we're convinced the battle is the Lord's, and we'll see a victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We stand with me. Hallelujah. 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 Beloved, those that God is speaking to, and today you say, now, I'm believing you now, Jesus, now. I'm believing you now to face the compromise in my heart, the fear in my heart, that thing you've been speaking to me to that I want to run away from, I don't want to hear you on it. because of what it could mean for my life. I'm today moving into the promised land. I'm today moving forward onto the enemy ground. I'm taking it in you, Jesus. I'm not going to be pushed back. I don't care what my record has been. I don't care what my heart has done and what it's bowed to. Today I'm hearing you, Jesus. You're saying you're going to make me the king, a king that can trust you with all my heart. And I'm stepping up today. I put hell on notice because today I'm stepping up. And I'm being recruited for an army that cannot fail. If that is your prayer, would you come forward and join me here? Hallelujah. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. For our head to be lifted up above our enemy, that means our enemy is facing us. It means he's in the picture, he's in my face. This year, we're going to believe for praying against alcoholism in our families. We're going to pray against drug addiction. We're going to pray against ungodly relationships. We're going to pray against all that God says has to go. We're going to be so determined to trust Him. And no matter what our record has been, and how many times we've bowed down before, God says, I love you. And I prove myself strong to a failed people. That's how you know I love you. Because I don't walk away. Because you still have a hope, and I have a hope in a future. God says, I come now. And I know who you are apart from me. That's why you, of all people, are going to walk so dependent on me. Are going to say, the battle has to be the Lord's, because I can't do it. But beloved, we're going to tackle the big things now. We're going to go after these life-controlling things. We're going to go after what God is going to cause us to pray, where we're going to be so consecrated in our walk that even our most cherished things that we hold so dear, our reputation and our what we give our life force to, we're willing to give it to Him and say, God, if it's you, then I give it all to you for your service and glory. And if it's not, take it away. I take all the stops off. Every enemy that tries to tell me, I'll go down if I do this. If I obey on this, I'm going down. No, we're going to face that enemy. And in the power of God, our head's going to be lifted up. And that enemy will go under our feet. Because God says, this battle is mine. The king of Assyria is going down under our feet. We are His people. And what took down compromising Christians and the power of this world where everybody else bows, we're going to stand in this hour. We're going to be a people who's going to trust Him. We're going to pray specific prayers. We're going to get deadly. We're going to get radical. And you're going to be found in places. And I'm going to be found in a place. Maybe my flesh didn't want to go, but the glory is going to be there. The glory is coming back on our face. The gold, the silver will be returned. And we'll be able to say, come with me to the house of God. It is glorious. And I just have one word. I feel so strong. There are people you are battling with such intense loneliness. Loneliness colors your world. Beloved, I'll tell you something. You've been specially marked. God is going to so be your best friend. He's going to, you see, you're asking Him to invade your heart and your life. We only ask things in that are holy and life-giving to invade our heart and mind. We only want what is good. He is only good. He loves us. We're going to leave here invaded by our best friend who loves us and is going to show it to us over and over. This is going to be a year where the bondage of the heaviness of loneliness breaks. And your best friend is going to fill and light up your life. And no one's going to keep you quiet. And you're going to speak faith and comfort. People are going to lean on your words and your life till they find Him too. And they're going to get their own legs and join you in the war. Beloved, it's going to be a great year. It's going to be an awesome year because we're going out as an army. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those that are now trusting God for now, today, something to break and something to change. Those that are willing to put our faith in the line and say now, some things are a process, but I believe today in this service, right now, there's got to be a now happen. In some situations, we go out determined to trust. And Father, we come with our arms wide open. Invade us now. You who cannot fail. You who are the captain of the army. You, O God, who will take our fear and cause us to trust. You who will give us words of life for those around us. And Lord, we're going to be able to stand in them. We'll not be drawn back and moved off. Lord, only you can do this. The battle is the Lord's, but we do give it to you. Now touch us, invade us, own us wholly, O God. Let us go out trusting you as never before. Let us be specific in our prayers, and let us see hell broken on the left and on the right. Let us invade into the enemy territory, O God, under your banner, and see a mighty victory. I thank you, you break the spirit of fear, the spirit of unbelief, the spirit of alcoholism, the spirit of drug abuse, the spirit of wrong relationship, wrong thinking. Oh God, come now. Come now and do what only you can do. We give it to you and we declare we trust you. We declare we love you. We declare your victory in our lives and those in the lives around us. And we thank you for it all in Jesus' precious name. Now, beloved, give him thanks. Let's give him thanks. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
This is the conclusion of the message.